Roman wine education was advanced considerably when a friend acquired, well, liberated more like, a good number of half bottles from the estate of a mutual friend who had lately died, and which he believed that this friend's beneficiaries, a large and famous charity which will remain nameless, would not properly appreciate. So half bottles of claret from some of the most famous chateaux of Bordeaux. One Sunday, perhaps more than 25 years ago, he invited me to lunch to make a start on these half bottles, dating mostly from the 1950s. One wine was immediately recognizable as undrinkable. Another had much promise on the nose, but was unacceptable to the palate. Another was spectacular for one glass and painful for the second. Still another, quite the reverse. All in all, very little was drunk that lunchtime, not least because the very best bottle of all had thrown such considerable sediment that much ingenuity was required to separate it from the wine, and the call of evensong intervened. The chemical volatility of wine and the stark contrast in quality came home to me that day. And many of the developments in the wine industry in our own day have been designed to iron out precisely those uncertainties. No doubt, in part because the wine of Jesus' day must have been subject to far greater variation, it was usual to serve the best wine first. But a surface reading of this story might suggest that wine was always valued above water. Not so, I fancy, as on a visit to the Holy Land, I was impressed by the importance of water to the historical fortunes of the Hebrews, as of course the comfort of daily life. Water was the key to survival, not only because of the violent effects of dehydration in a desert environment, and the desert did and still does come right up to the outskirts of Jerusalem, but also because water was an essential to withstand lengthy siege in time of conflict. Now, much seemingly is owed to the camouflaged tunnel built by King Hezekiah to conceal Jerusalem's water supply. It's half a kilometer of narrow, dark passageway, and it's open to tourists, with water up to the neck in quite a lot of the passageway, and I'm afraid it was an opportunity that I hastily declined. But if in reality water mattered every bit as much as wine, they are presented to us in today's gospel as part of a theological pattern, a scheme of salvation, if you like. Now, Cana is a pretty miserable place this day, and the wine would not, I think, pass muster for many of us, though it's much enjoyed by silver wedding couples celebrating their anniversary in the town. But in the story of the wedding at Cana today, the bridegroom is not, in fact, the cheerful young man in the middle of the top table, but rather the bridegroom is Jesus himself, the bridegroom of his people, who comes curiously and unrecognized as a guest among many others. And the water, set apart for the rite of purification which precedes eating, and not, in fact, for drinking, the water in stone jars would resist contamination. The water is a reminder that by washing only, no one is actually made worthy. So it might just as well become the wine which celebrates the gracious appearance of the bridegroom among those whom he loves.